The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bullock. Vayar Bullock ben Sipor is Kol Asher Osi Yisrael Lo Emari. Bullock, the son of Sipor, saw all that Israel did to Emari. By Yogor Mayad Mipnei Om, and the nation of Moab became afraid of Israel. Mi'od Kirafu, because there were many. By Yokots Moab Mipnei Bnei Israel. Now, Bullock, as the Torah tells us in the next few psukim, he was the king of Moab. Moab is a nation that came from the union between Lot and his daughter. There were two daughters, and from one came Moab, and from the other came Ammon. This was the Bechira, the oldest daughter. And incidentally, from this nation, Moab, came Rus, like we read on Shavuos, Rus HaMoavi, HaMoavit. Actually, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Nozir, and of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, later on we're to learn that Bullock went and three times he built mizboches, he built altars, to be makriv korbonis, to sacrifice sacrifices to Hashem, in order to pray that Bilim, who they're hiring to curse Israel, his curses will be effective. So the Gemara brings in Masechet Nozir and of Chav Gimel Amud Beis that he built a total, he sacrificed a total of base korbonis, 42 korbonis. And Rashi and Tosfos explain why. Because three times did he build these mizboches, these altars, in three different places. Every time Bilam wanted to curse the people, instead of cursing them, he blessed them. He wasn't able to curse them. So each time they decided they'll go and look at Klal Yisrael from a different perspective, a different aspect, a different place. So they moved to three places, and in each place he built seven altars. And on every mizbeach, he kriv parva ayil. He sacrificed a par, a bullock, and a ram. So this means 14 sacrifices in each place, two on each altar, seven altars. And in three places would be a total of 42. So Bullock, on this day, made 42 sacrifices to the Almighty. Now the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Le'elom Yasek Odom B'Terev Mitzvah Zafilu Shalei Lishmon. From this we can learn that a person must be careful even to study Torah or to fulfill mitzvahs, even Shalei Lishmon, even if his intent is not totally pure. Shemitek Shalei Lishmon Bo Lishmon. Because if he does mitzvahs, or if he studies Torah, without a totally pure intent, but the mitzvah itself and the Torah itself will motivate him and will purify him and encourage him to eventually do the mitzvahs lishmo, to do the mitzvahs with a better intent. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav said that a person always shouldn't say that when I daven I don't have such good kavona anyhow, so I won't daven. Or when I study Torah, I don't study so well, or I have different reasons why, so I won't learn Torah. You shouldn't say that. You should daven anyhow, learn Torah anyhow. And eventually, he'll come lishmo. Eventually, it'll come right. How do we know this? So the Gemara says, we know this from Bullock. In this case, Shebischar membeis korbonis sheikri Bullock harosho. Because Bullock was rewarded for these 42 sacrifices. What was his reward? Zocha v'yotze mimeno Rus. What did Bullock do to have such a great descendant as Rus? Rus had come from kings. And she had come from Eglon, that was a king of Moab, who was a descendant of Bullock, the king of Moab. And from Rus was a tremendous tzaddikus, a tremendous righteous woman. And from her came all of the malchus to Israel. Dovid HaMelech, King David, and Shlomo HaMelech. So Bullock must have had some schus to merit such a descendant. So the Gemara says the schus was the 42 sacrifices that he sacrificed here in our Sedra. But his intent
was totally contrary. Why was he sacrificing them? He was sacrificing them so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to Bilam when he cursed the nation. So it was totally Shalei Lishma. It was not for the proper reasons. Still we see that Seif Kol Seif, in actuality, he brought sacrifices to the Almighty. And he was rewarded for it. So from here we learn, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, La'ilam yaseh gorem b'teirem mitzvah afilu shalei lishma. A person should always do teirem mitzvahs, even if he doesn't have the proper intent. That should not deter him. Should we take shalei lishma bo lishma? Because eventually it'll come lishma. So this is who Balak was. He was the king of Moab. And Moab was this nation that had come from Lot and his oldest daughter, that Drush had come from. Why did all of a sudden they become so afraid? By Yogar Moab, it states that they were afraid. Because at the end of the last Sedra, we're speaking here at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, in the desert, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, originally it was the plan that the year after receiving the Torah, the nation would go into Eretz Yisrael. But because of the hate of the Maraglim, of the spies, when they sent scouts into Eretz Yisrael, they were Meitzidibas Ha'oretz, they slandered the land, and they weakened the hearts of the people. So the Almighty said, This generation will not go into the land. And I'm forced to keep you in the desert for 40 years in order that this generation will die out and the next generation will go into the land. So towards the end of the 40th year, Klal Yisrael were coming to the borders of Eretz Yisrael. They were coming to Eivar HaYarden, Transjordan. And it was getting time now to go in and inherit the land. So they came, as they were coming, they had two great confrontations. One with a nation called Emori, Sichon, the king of Emori, and another with a great confrontation with Og Melech HaBoshan. These were mighty nations, and these nations stood in front of the land of Moab. So they acted as a guard to Moab. And everyone had expected that these nations would stop Mesha and the people. So as we read about it in last week's Sedra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave these nations immediately into the hands of Mesha and the people. They devastated them totally. Sichon Melech Emori and Og Melech HaBoshan. When Moab saw that, they became very, very worried. They became almost hysterical. Because if this is what they did to those two great nations, what are they going to do to us? So they had to take some action. What did they do? Vayemer Moab el Zikne Midyan. So they went to the elders of Midyan. Midyan was another nation. That was a nation that had come from Ishmael. Why did they go to the elders of Midyan to discuss what to do? So Rashi brings the Medrash. And he says as follows. Even Shiroish Yisrael Naitzkim Shalekimina Gailim. Since they saw that Klal Yisrael were having victories which were not in accordance, they were supernatural. So they said, Omru Manhigum Shalailu B'midyan Nisgadl. Who is the leader of Israel? Meisha Rabbeinu. Where did Meisha grow up? He grew up in Midyan. Because when he fled from Parai, he went to the house of Yisro and Midyan. So let's go to the elders of Midyan and perhaps they can advise us where is this particular strength in the Meisha Rabbeinu. And then we will know how to counter against it. So therefore, they said, Nishal mehem mamidose. So they went to the elders of Midyan. The elders of Midyan said, Ein keiche el befiv. His whole power is in his mouth. It's not a physical strength. His power is in his mouth. He speaks. He speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty. Omru, so they said, if that's the case, Af onu nove alheim bo odim shekeche befiv. We also then will counteract this with the power of the mouth. We'll have to find ourselves someone who has a strong power of the mouth. So therefore they decided Bilaam is the man. Because Bilaam also was not a powerful man in strength, in physical strength, but with the mouth. So therefore they decided to go to Bilaam. Vayishlach malochim el Bilaam ben Boor Pseiru. Asher al hanor eres b'neyamai likrei lei. So they sent messengers to Bilaam. And they told Bilaam, Va'atol lechol no orali asom azeh, go and curse this nation for us. Ki yodati, because we know, is asher tevorech mevorech v'asher to'or you are. We know that you have a very strong power in your mouth. What you bless is blessed, and what you curse is cursed. Who was this Bilaam? Bilaam was a Novi, he was a prophet. And he was the greatest prophet of the prophets that ever rose amongst the Goyim, amongst the nations of the world. And he was an exceedingly great person, a very powerful person. Like even the nations knew that what you bless is blessed and what you curse is cursed. So he was an exceedingly powerful person. But he was a very great Rosh, very wicked man. Where did he get his power from? So Rashi brings, this power was a spiritual power. This was a power that the Almighty gave him. Why did the Almighty give such a power to the nations of the world and to such a wicked person? In order that when Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah and fulfill the Torah and receive their reward, and the nations of the world, the others will not, they shouldn't come with a protest saying that had you given us such great prophets as Moshe Rabbeinu, so we also would be great. It's not fair. The whole reason why we're not so great is because we didn't have these prophets. So therefore, the Almighty gave them a person that was capable of being as great a prophet as Moshe Rabbeinu. Almighty gave them a person of potential stature of the greatest prophecies. Hamid lahem nevim. So he gave them prophets. What did they do with it? They brought together ilam. They broke down the barriers of the world with it. They ruined the world with it. Because, as we see later on at the end of the Sedra, it was Bilaam's Eitzah, was his counsel to the people that, you know how you can bring down this nation? Send your daughters to them. And let your daughters entice them to acts of immorality, and then to avodah zarah, then to idolatry. And this is how you'll bring down the nation. And the Gemara brings us that until this time, the nations as a whole were godru min arayis. From the time of the flood, of the great flood, the nations as a whole conducted themselves with great modesty. Because they didn't want another world flood to come upon them. And it was Bilaam that came and made this change. So we see what they did with their powers of prophecy, the spiritual powers which were given to them. So this was Bilaam. The Gemara tells us even further. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and of Kufei Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, Tano, who was Bilaam? Who Kushan Rishosayim, who Lovan Arami. Bilaam was the same person as Kushan Rishosayim and as Lovan Arami. The Ovid Shtei Rishois B'Yisrael, Achas B'Mei Yakov, Achas B'Mei Shveit HaShevtim. he did two great acts against Israel. Once during the time of Yaakov Avinu, this was Lavan, and once in the time of the Shave team, this was Kushan Rishasayim. That in, after Yeshua died, he went and attacked Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara brings here that there was a link between Bilam and Lavan. I don't know if the Gemara means actually he's the same person as Lavan, and he lived so long, because we're going back a good many generations, or he was linked up with Lavan. But at any rate, there is this link that Bilam was Lavan. And Lavan, this is who Yaakov, when Yaakov fled from Esav, he went to the house of Lavan, and he worked for Lavan, for Rachel and Leah. And he was there a total of 7 years for Leah, and then another 7 years for Rachel, and then another 6 years. He was there, the Esrim Shona, 20 years. And Lavan constantly deceived him. Esr Pomim, 10 times, the Gemara Darshan's actually 100 times he deceived him. And Lavan Bikesh Lachar Es Hakol, Lavan attempted to destroy Yaakov completely. And in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, when we start speaking of the history of the Ovish, so we say, Lavan Bikesh Lachar Es Hakol. Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov completely. And we place a greater emphasis on the hatred of Lavan and on Lavan, what he tried to do, than even more than Esav or more than Parai, the other great arch enemies of Israel. The Maral in the Haggadah Shel Pesach explains that there was a particular hatred that stood out in Lavan which far surpassed the hatreds of the other enemies. Esav had reason to hate Yaakov, because he said, twice you deceived me, you stole my birthright, and now you stole the brachas from me. So he had reason to. Parai also had reason to react. He said, the nation, they came down, 70 people, and now they're poru, v'rovu, v'yishutsu, they're multiplying by hordes. They grew into a nation of millions of people there. And he says, what will happen if there's a war? The Nilcham, and they'll come and they'll fight against us. See? So Parai acted because of fear. Esav acted because he held that Yaakov took what was his. Moab here is acting of fear. By Yogur Moab. They were afraid. What did Lavan want to destroy Yaakov for? What did Yaakov ever do to Lavan? Yaakov came there, and he was a relative, and he worked be'emuna, he worked faithfully for him 7 years, then he deceived him. Lavan deceived him. He worked another 7 years, he worked another 6 years. There was no reason in the world why Lavan should have had anything but gratitude. It states in the Torah that all kind of brochas came to Lavan from the time Yaakov came to his household. And still he hated him. So this was a hatred without reason. That's why we place this specific emphasis, Lavan Bikesh Lachar Es Hakol. Lavan was the one that wanted to destroy Yaakov completely. Now accordingly, we find the same quality now in Bilam. Because Bilam, if you go through the parasha, you see Bilam had the keyach, the power, to bless and to curse. Firstly, what did he have to get involved here for? But secondly, we see that Bilam saw very clearly that it was not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will to curse the people. When he went and he asked a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what should he do? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no, don't curse them, keep Baruch Hu, because they're blessed. Then again he wanted to go. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if you want to go, go. And still there were many obstacles that Hashem threw in his path many times. So we see that Bilam wanted to go and curse them. Not only he went, but he wanted to. What for? This was not his problem. This was not a Reeve, this was a Reeve Sheina Shalai. So here again we see the same quality of Lavan Arami. That he had a hatred for Klal Yisrael, where he wanted to destroy them. Blaytam, without any reason. So this was a Hamshocha, this was a continuity, a continuation of the Lavan Bikesh, Lakres HaKol of Lavan against Yaakov, and then Bilam against the children of Yaakov. I don't know if the Gemara means that Lavan was actually, Bilam was actually Lavan, which it seems in some places from the Chazal that this is what they mean, or if it was just the same Sheiris, that they're working from the same source. So this was Bilam. In the end of the Sedra, like we mentioned, when Bilam was not successful in cursing him, still he didn't go home. He still had it within him where he wanted to destroy the people. So he said, come, I will give you an etzah. I will give you counsel how to destroy them. Elekehem shalelu senes azimo. Their God hates immorality and idolatry. Send your daughters and entice them, and this will bring them down. And this is what happened. And because of this, many thousands of Klal Yisrael were lost. Because of these things that we mentioned, the Torah states in Parshas Kisetze. In Parshas Kisetze, in Devarim Chof Beis Posek Dalet, Torah says, Lo Yovei Ameini Umo'ovi Bikal Hashem. There were only two nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected forever from marrying into the main community of Klal Yisrael. This means that anyone has a right to come to Klal Yisrael and want to be Megayer. And if they want to be Megayer, if they want to convert, we must accept them. If they qualify, if they're willing to accept the qualifications of Gerus, then we must accept them. Once they're accepted, they're allowed to marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael. There are only two nations that the Almighty forbade forever, see, to marry into Klal Yisrael, the central community of Klal Yisrael, even after Gerus. And this was these two nations, Amen and Me'od. Why? So the Torah gives two reasons. Because when Klal Yisrael were coming through the land, you should have come out to meet them, because they were related to Klal Yisrael. They came from Avram Avinu. This was from the daughters of Leit. Leit was a nephew of Avram. You should have come out with bread and water. Instead, you wouldn't let them come through. And because you went and hired Bilam to go and to curse them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not listen to Bilam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his curse and changed it into a brocha. Because Hashem Elokecha loves you. Now Rashi brings from the Sifri another reason. Actually, it's a little strange, because the Sifri seems to add a reason in which states is not stated in the Torah. But Rashi brings from the Sifri, he says, what does it mean? Why did Hashem reject them forever? So he says, Ala Eitzo Sheyoatzu Eschem Lahachti Achem. And the Eitzo, and the counsel that Bilam gave, how to bring their downfall by bringing them to hate. In other words, when the curse didn't work, so then he advised to send in the daughters of Midian. So this is, Rashi brings from the Sifri, also a reason why the Almighty rejected them forever. Then Rashi says a little further, so it was from this Parsha, what went on in this Parsha, is the reason why Moab, this is the reason for Moab, not Ammon, because Ammon was not involved in this, is the reason why Moab was rejected forever. Rashi a little further tells us, he says, from here we see how careful we must be from bringing another person to hate, to Avera. Because later on the Torah tells us, Edom and Mitzri, the nation of Esav and the nation of Mitzrayim of Egypt, these are rejected from Klal Yisrael for three generations. But once they're Megiah, they're converted, then after three generations they can marry into the community of Klal Yisrael. So they're rejected for three generations, but not forever. Now he said Edom came out with a sword. Egypt wanted to physically kill all of your male children. And they only rejected for three generations. Why? While Moab did not succeed in killing you physically, but spiritually. They made you bechater. See, they brought you to sin. And they rejected forever. So he says, from here we see that Hamachti es chaveray is yeser mihorge, that if you mislead a chaver into sin, that's worse than killing him. And the reason is because if you physically harm a person, so you harm him in this world. But if you spiritually harm a person, then you harm him not only in this world, but in the next world also. That's why we must be very, very careful when we advise someone. Many times people come and ask advice. See? Ask advice, what should they do? When it comes to a derech hachaim, a decision, they have a decision to make, and the decision affects their future. What school should they send their son? What yeshiva should they send their son? How they should learn? Should they partake in this mitzvah, that mitzvah, or whatever it might be? But if it has to do, if it's ramifications that have to do with Torah and mitzvahs, the person must be very, very careful when he gives him this advice. Because if he misleads him, then it's coming very close to Hamachti es chaveray. And Hamachti es chaveray is koshmi ahorgay. Is more serious than physically harming him. In the when Bilam did come and his job was to curse the people, we find that three times did he attempt to curse the people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it into Brocha. And as we mentioned before, the three times was in three different places. Every time Balak would build seven Mizbochas, seven altars, and Bilam would attempt to curse the people, and it turned into Brochas, and then he moved to a second place, and then he moved to a third place. So we have in the Seder there are three sets of Brochas. And then at the end of the Seder, we have a fourth set of brochas. There he didn't try to curse them anymore. There, he saw what the story was. He saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let him curse them. So he merely blessed and prophesied what would happen to this nation in the end. Now in the three sets of brochas, let's go over some of them from each set, and we don't have time to go through all of them because there's a great deal here, but let's go over some from each set and make some observations on them. In the first set of brochas, first set of brachas is in Balak Chof Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. It starts from Pasuk Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, so forth. He says he was told Lecho Ori Li Yaakov, Lecho Zama Yisrael. He was to go and curse Yaakov, and he was to go and curse Yisrael. Mo Ekev Lekabo Kel. Why should I curse him? How can I curse him? The Almighty never cursed him. My Ezraim Lezoam Hashem. How can I be angry at him The Almighty was never angry at them. Rashi brings, Kishohoyu ruim niskalel le niskalelu. How can I curse this nation when even they were worthy of curses, the Almighty did not curse them? Kishihisker avia mesaveinam, ki be'apum horgu ish le'kalo el apum. Shinema oru apum. When Yaakov wanted to curse, Shimon and Levi, and he said, because they were the ones that were very militant, and they went and they caused a lot of bloodshed, he said, "Be'ak apom horgu ish." He only cursed their wrath. He did not curse they themselves. Oru apom. Kishenichnas aviyem b'mirma itzalovi v'yoroi liskal. When Yaakov deceived his father Yitzchok and went to take the brochas from his father Yitzchok instead of Esav, when Yitzchok found out about this, he should have been very angry. Instead he said, Gam Boruch Yeh, let him be blessed. The Torah tells us, Elu yamdu levorech esom, that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, some should stand on Hagrizim, some should stand on Harevel, and you should bless the nation and curse the nation. So it states, Elu yamdu levorech esom, these shall stand to bless the nation. Ve'elu yamdu ala klola, doesn't say ve'elu yamdu lekalel, and those should stand to curse, but those should stand ala klola. So we see, he said, how can I curse them? And how can I be angry at them? Even when they were worthy of curses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Yaakov wouldn't curse them. And even when they were worthy of being angry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yaakov was not angry. So therefore he said, this is something that I cannot do. Then he said, Ki merei suri mereno umigvos ashureno. And om levodu yishkein vagoim leyishkashov. Mireish tsuri meranu means that I see the rocks of their beginning. Umigvos ashurenu, and I also see gvos are like small hills. So Rashi says, Ani mistakel b'roshisom, I look at their beginnings. U'bitchilish roshehem, their early roots. V'anireya esom yusodim v'chazokim, and I see that their roots are strongly founded with great strength. Kitzurim v'givolos halolu, like great mighty rocks and hills. Are they always be imos? Because of the fathers, because of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and because of the imos, the matriarchs, Sora, Rivka, Roch, Velea. The tsurim, the rocks, this refers to the oves, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and the gavos, and the hills, this refers to the imos. And then he said, Hen om levodet yishkain, this is a nation which dwells by itself, uvagoyim leyishashuv, and they shall not be counted amongst the nations. This is why we find that there are 70 nations in the world and Yisrael. 70 and Yisrael. We don't say there are 71. There are 70 and Yisrael. Because hen om levodet yishkain, because they are a nation that dwells alone, uvagoyim leyishashov, and they will not be counted amongst the other nations. The Torah always refers to as the 70 nations and Yisrael. And that's why Yisrael is called Am Echod. Mika Amcha ki Yisrael Am Echod. It's a single nation. And incidentally, that's the reason why the house of Yaakov had 70 people. There were 70 people in the house of Yaakov that went down to Egypt. Because the house of Yaakov, that's Klal Yisrael, the Beis Yaakov. And that was like a miniature of all of the nations of the world. So there were 70, and then the 70 of Yaakov, which represented one nation. Now why did he What does it mean that he's, I'm looking at the roots, I'm looking at the beginnings, and I find where the roots are? So there's a Medrash. Medrash says, this Medrash is brought in the Maral Netzach Yisrael, in Perek Nun Zayin. Firstly, he says that in his first set of clawless of curses, he wanted to curse their beginnings. So this is why he was looking at their beginnings. But the Medrash brings other reasons also. He said, the Medrash says, we can see how much he hated Klal Yisrael, Shemitech Birchosav Ato Yedea Makshvaisav. Because from what became a brocha, we can see what he wanted to do. Because the Almighty had converted the curse into brochas. Give an example. A man wants to cut down a big tree. So someone who doesn't know how to cut down trees, he starts cutting one branch at a time. And by the time he's come to the fifth or the sixth or the eighth branch, he's all formatted, he's totally tired out. This is by someone who's not a bookie, someone who doesn't know what he's doing. Vapikeach, but someone who knows what he's doing. Megale es hashroshim. What he does, instead of cutting off all the branches of the tree, he digs up around the tree in order to uncover the roots of the tree. Vekeitz it. And then he cuts the roots. Once he cuts the roots, the whole tree falls down. Kach v'yisei rosho. So did Bilam say. He said, Omar mani mekale l'chol shevet v'shevet. Why should I go curse every Shevet? Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda? Now, hareini heilech l'shoroshim. Let me find out where their roots are. V'keitzetz bo. And I will go and cut their roots. Once I cut their roots, I curse their roots, then they all fall over. This is why he went for the source. Bo, liga umotzim koshim. But once he came to their source, he said, you cannot curse this nation. Because their source are the tsurim migvos. The atsur is a rock. But what kind of rock? It's a very strong rock. The source are the rocks in the hills. And just like you cannot move the rocks in the hills, you won't be able to move Klal Yisrael. Who were the rocks? Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Who were the hills? Sora, Rivka, Vroch, Valea. Therefore he said, Mirei Surim, Ereno, Umigvos, Ashureno. Another explanation in this. Which is very similar, the Medrash brings, is I went to look at their roots and I see that their roots come from the earliest part of the creation of the world. Even before the creation of the world. He says, Moshe Lemelech, an example, a king, he wanted to build a palace. So before he built the palace, he went to make an exploratory to find out the strongest ground to build the palace so the palace could last for centuries. One place he explored and they dug and found water. He said, that's not a good place. Another place he went and he found it was too soft. That's not a good place. Until finally he found a cellar, he found rock, strong rock deep down. He said, this is the place to build my palace. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So was it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he created the world, he started to think, what will be the foundation of the world? He started to see different generations coming up, and one generation worse than the other. There was the Dora Mabul, this generation of the flood, the Dora Enosh, and so forth. when he saw the generation of Abraham, he said, now I have found the foundation on which to build my palace. So this, as Bilam was exploring, this is what he found. So he said, you won't be able to curse them, because this is their foundation. What it means is that the source of Klal Yisrael is the highest source in the world, far greater than all of the other nations. Therefore, Hanam Levadu Jishkon, it's a nation that's by itself. Ubagoyim LeYishkashov, and it's not mixed with the other nations. All of the other nations come from another source, but Klal Yisrael comes from their own source, and therefore it's alone. Then the Medrash tells us, what does it mean that they're alone and they're not counted together with the nations? It means Kishuhu Mesamchon Ein Uma Smechi Mohen. When the Almighty brings rejoicing to Israel, so it's a private party, no other nations join in. Ukisho Uma Smechin Ba'elam. But when the nations of the world rejoice, then Israel rejoices with them. When Israel rejoices, the other nations have no part in their simcha. When the nations of the world rejoice, Israel has a part in their simcha, and it's not deducted from them. And that's why it means ubamim leishchashiv. It will not be deducted from them. What is the interpretation of this? Because the source of Israel is the highest source of all of the nations, and it was Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Therefore, if it's a simcha to Israel, it's not a simcha to the other nations, because they don't come from such a source. But when there's a simcha to the other nations, this Klal Yisrael also has a part in, because all brocha that comes to the world comes through Yisrael, because theirs is the highest source. This means that Yisrael is not dependent on the other nations, but the other nations of the world are dependent on Yisrael, because the ultimate foundation of the whole world is Yisrael. If you build a building that has many floors, see, the foundation is not dependent on the higher floors, which came later, but the upper floors are dependent on the foundation. Therefore, Israel is not dependent on the other nations, but the other nations are dependent on Israel. Therefore, when Israel's smeching, when they're rejoicing, it has nothing to do with the other nations. When the other nations rejoice, Israel also rejoices, because it has to come from their source. Now we'll go to a brocha in the second set. In Posuk Chof Gimel, there he said, Ki le nachash bi Yaakov v'le kesem bi Yisrael. There is no sorcery in the house of Yaakov. There's no type of sorcery or astrology, fortune telling, witchcraft. This you don't find by Israel. There will be a time when Klal Yisrael will speak directly to Hashem. Now Rashi says as follows: Kilei nachesh bi Yaakov, kuruim hem lebrocha shein b'manachshim v'kesmin. These people are fit for brochas because there's no sorcery amongst them. Ka'esh yom le Yaakov od osin liyos es ka'esh azos asher tigalechi boson la'ain kol. There will come a time when everyone will see the love between the Almighty and Klal Yisrael. They will sit and learn Torah right from the Almighty. And they will be sitting closer, Yisrael will be sitting closer to the Almighty than even the Malachim, even the angels. There will come a time when all the nations will ask Yisrael, and even the angels will ask Yisrael, what is the Almighty doing? Because Yisrael will know, and the nations and even the angels will not know. This is the direct communication that there will be between Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. And that's what it states, V'hoyu einecha reyes esberecho. There'll be a time when your eyes will see your teacher. This refers to Klal Yisrael studying Torah by the Almighty. Then Rashi says another interpretation, Devar Acher, Yo'omel Yaakov ein eloshin osi eloshin hiva. You know why there's no sorcery? And there's no when they have to know what is the Almighty going to do, they don't need the sorcery. But they have their prophets. We have the Urim and Tumim Magidim Lahem. We have our ways of knowing directly from the Almighty. We don't have to come on to other ways. Now the Medrash brings on this. The Medrash says as follows. Rosa Enoshel Bilam, when Bilam looked at them and he wanted to curse them, what did he see? He saw she Yisrael Yeshmin Ibnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael is sitting in front of the Almighty. This was a prophecy of the future. Yisrael sitting in front of the Almighty. Umavarim kol parsha or parsha lo v'nichtavo. And the Almighty is telling Yisrael every parsha and every piece of Torah, why it's written. He's explaining to them all of the secrets of the Torah. And this is what is written in Yeshayahu. This is what is written in Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu. In Yeshayahu, Parsha Lamed, Pasuk Chof. This is the pasuk that Rashi brings. Is written that Yeshayahu is prophesizing what will be after when the world comes to perfection. So he says, "V'le'yikonef eid meirecho." No longer will your teacher conceal himself from you. V'hoyu einecho reyes es meirecho, and your eyes shall see your teacher. When you're in the golus, your teacher will conceal himself from you. You'll have difficulty in seeing him. But when the world will come to its perfection, no longer will he hide himself from you. But v'hoyu einecho reyes es meirecho, your eyes will see your teacher. This is what Bilam saw. V'cheinu aymer, he saw malachei ashoris sheilim, that Klal Yisrael was sitting closer to the Almighty than the angels. And the angels were asking Klal Yisrael, Mahayda lachem, what did he say? What did Hashem say? Lefisha enam yechaylim lichnais nemechitzosan. Because they weren't allowed to go as close as Yisrael. Now what does all of this mean? The Maral explains. Bilam was interested in cutting off their source. He said that the nation is Baruch, the nation is blessed. They have the brachas yet from Avraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he told Avraham, leave your home, He said, Bavorcheko, and I will bless you. He gave him the brochas. And these brochas were given to Yitzchok, and these brochas were given to Yaakov, and Yaakov gave them to the 12 Shvatim. And therefore Bilam saw that he can, he says, how can I curse this nation? They're boruch, they're blessed. So he was trying to remove the nation from its source. Cut them off from the source of the Oves, and cut them off from the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he said, you cannot do that. They're too close. There's no Nahash and there's no Ksum. There's no sorcery by them. The nations of the world that are far from the Almighty, so they try to predict the future, and they try to understand things by cleaving to outside sources, by cleaving to other powers of the world. And that's the whole subject of cults. See? That you come to certain understandings through backdoor methods. These are called keches achitzenim, other methods. And you have sorcery and witchcraft and darkei ameri and so forth and so on, like the Torah mentions many times. Klal Yisrael doesn't need this, because they are attached to the Almighty Himself. As it states by Yaakov, Ishtam. Yaakov was Ishtam. This means that his trust was totally in the Almighty. And that's why it states, Al Tidreishes Vasidreis, Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecho. Don't bother yourself with future telling and fortune telling and palm reading and everything else like that. Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecho. Place your trust in the Almighty. And Yaakov, who was the father of Klal Yisrael, states Ishta. He had total trust in the Almighty. Total trust and reliance means an inseparability. The fact is, like we've mentioned many times, the angels saw that the face of Yaakov, when he was sleeping and having the dream, they saw that was the same face on the chariot and the throne of the Almighty. Which, what does this imply? This implies the tremendous closeness and bond that Yaakov had to the Almighty. He was closer than any other power. And this is what Bilam saw. So he said, I cannot remove this nation from their source. I cannot split this nation. I cannot take them away from their Oves. I cannot take them away from their Imos, their mothers, and I cannot take them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there's no Nachash, there's no Kesem. They don't come through to Hashem through indirect means. They have direct contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he foresaw what's going to happen in the next world, that the Klal Yisrael sitting learning Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're speaking back and forth, and the Malachim are asking Yisrael, what did he say? What did Hashem say? Because they'll be closer, even closer than the Malachim, than the angels. And that's what the Pasuk means, that there'll be a time when it states, Layikonef Eid Meirecho. There'll be a time when your teacher will not conceal himself from you anymore. Vohoyu Einecho Reyeses Merecho. And your eyes will see your teacher. It's brought that when you learn from someone, it's always a mitzvah to see the person that you're learning. Why? Because Torah is being transmitted to you through your teacher. So therefore, you should bind yourself with that Torah as much as possible. And there's a greater bond through seeing. So we say, therefore, it's a mitzvah to see who you're learning from, and we learn it from this posuk. But the greatest seeing your teacher, that's seeing the Almighty, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what Bilam said, that he said, Leinachash ki leinachash bi Yaakov leikesem bi Yisrael. Ko eishi oma leYaakov Yisrael mo paokel. They will ask Yisrael, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? or if Yisrael wants to know, they can ask directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, he said, I cannot remove this nation from its source. Now let's go to a brocha in the third set of brochas. The third set of brochas, and this is in Posuk, in Parsha Chov Dalet, Posuk Beis and Gimel, and Dalet. By Yisov Bilam Ezeinov, by Yaresh Yisrael, Sheikhin Lishvotov. Bilam lifted his eye, and he saw Yisrael, Sheikhin Lishvotov. Batiyalov Ruach Elokim. What does it mean? He saw Yisrael Sheikhin Lishvotov. So Rashi brings Rokol Shevet V'Shevet Sheikhin Le'atzmai Ve'enen Me'urovim. He saw every tribe dwelling by themselves and not mixed up. That was the first thing he saw. Now firstly, this Chazal say, from the fact that it says Vayisa Bilam Es'enov, that Bilam lifted his eye, what does it mean he lifted his eye? So the Chazal say, Rashi brings Bikesh Lahachnis Ben Ein Ro. He wanted to harm them with an ayin ro, with an evil eye. This is one of the qualities that Bilam had, an ayin ro, an evil eye. So therefore he lifted his eye to look at them, trying to harm them with an evil eye. But he was unable to. First he saw Sheikhin Lishvotov, every Shevet dwelling by themselves. And it states, what does it state? And it states, Vatiyalav Ruach Elokim. And there was Ruach Elokim, Shechina. If he saw Shechina, he couldn't harm them. Now what is the Milo? What is so good that every Shevet is dwelling by themselves? The Einan Muravim, they were not mixed up. One of the things this teaches us is that there was a family pride and a family tradition. Klal Yisrael was made up from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov encompassed all of the brochas. All of the brochas that Abraham and Yitzchok had, Yaakov had, and he was the perfection. He was the perfection of the others. But these brochas he couldn't give to one person. He was too great that one person could receive these brochas. These brochas he divided between his 12 sons. And each one had a separate brocha. This means the descendants from all of the 12 tribes had different qualities. Yisachar, there was the quality of Torah. Yehuda was the quality of Malchus, of kingship. Yosef was the quality of Tzidkis, of righteousness, and so forth. By Levi came Kohuna and Leviyah. So each one had their own qualities. We see that it was designed in the desert that each one camped by themselves and each one marched by themselves. Now, this means that each one identified with his own particular ancestors, his own particular family. This was the family pride, the family tradition to keep those brochas that they received. That was one thing he saw, Sheikhin Lishvotov. What else did he see in Sheikhin Lishvotov? Sarashi brings Roshein Pischeya Mechuvonim Zeke Neged Zeh Shele Yatzitz Lesech El Chaveri. Sheikhin Lishvotov, he saw that their homes, their tents were built in a manner where one window was not opposite another tent's window. One doorway was not opposite another doorway. This was for the purpose of modesty, the purpose of tzidkis. The Gemara brings in Cheskes Abatim. Gemara brings in Afsamach Omer Aleph, Shon Rabbeinu Leiftach Odom Lechotzer Ashutvin Pesach Neged Pesach. If you have two houses and they have a common courtyard, and one person has a window into the courtyard from this side, the other one should not open a window directly opposite where one can see in the other one's house. Manahani Mili. How do we know that? It brings an eye from here. Vayisa Bilam es Eino Vayar. Bilam lifted up his eye and he saw. What did he saw? See? Roshein Pischein Mechuvonim Zeke Neged Zeh. He saw that their windows and their doorways were not opposite, directly opposite each other. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, Vatiyolov, it says, Vatiyolov Ruach Elokim, there was the Spirit of Hashem. So Bilam said, I cannot curse this people because Ruin Elu Shetish Reshchina Alehem. They are fit for the Shechina. Now from here we learn the important, the very important quality of tzniut, of privacy. This means that one person is not supposed to be involved in the business of his neighbor. But everyone is supposed to live his own life. That's another interpretation, Sheikhin Lishvotov. Each shaved by themselves, each family by themselves. The windows were not opposite each other, the doorways were not opposite each other, in order that one will not know what's going on by the other. Mother brings this in Baba Basra, a whole sugi Hezekriya, where it's a claim against the other person because you're taking away my privacy. A person has a right to privacy. Not only does he have a right to privacy, but we see that lack of privacy is the opposite of Shekhinah Hashem. He saw that Shekhinah was there. Why did he see Shekhinah was there? Because each one lived their private lives. They didn't mix into the business of their neighbor. They weren't busybodies and they weren't gossips. And he said, Rui Lebrocha, the Roi Lebrocha, I cannot curse them. It's Shekhinah Hashem. So that was one thing he saw, and this is very important. And we see also from here that privacy is a defense against the nine hora. Okay. The Gemara brings that. Gemara brings that one reason why a person can demand privacy against the nine hora. Because he tried to afflict them with a nine hora and they were too private, he couldn't do it. Then the Gemara also dashes on this psukim. It brings it there. What did he say when he saw this? He said, Matovo Alecha Yaakov Mishkanaisecha Yisrael. He said, how goodly are the tents of Yaakov when he saw this? Umishkanaisecha Yisrael and the dwelling places of Yisrael. So the Gemara brings two drashas on this. One drasha is, he was referring to the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. The tents of Yisrael, this is the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishkan, and the sanctuary. A second drasha the Gemara brings is he was referring, what are the tents of Yaakov? The tents of Yaakov are the Bati Midrashim. These are the yeshivas, places of study. Mishkanaisecha Yisrael, what are the Mishkan? This is Beis HaKnesses, the shuls. That when he saw this, he foresaw the Bote Midrashim and Bote Kinesios, the yeshivas and the shuls of Klal Yisrael. And he said, I cannot curse you because you're ruining the Shekhinah, because you have Shekhinah, you have the presence of the Almighty. And where there's the presence of the Almighty, then I cannot curse you. Now, the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Hei Omer Beis, the Gemara says, Omer Avuna Bar Abba, from his brachas we can see what he wanted to curse. From the fact that he blessed the shuls and the yeshivas, we see that he wanted to destroy the shuls and the yeshivas. So the Maral in the Guraya says, why did he want to destroy the shuls and the yeshivas? So he says, for two reasons. Because his whole kavona, his whole intent was to uproot Klal Yisrael from the Shekhinah, from the source. He says, there's nothing that brings more Shekhinah to Klal Yisrael than the shuls and the yeshivas. It states that someone who goes to shul to be mispalal, this brings Shekhinah. It states that Shnaim Shiyesh Vimalem Deiteri, when two people sit and learn Torah, Shekhinah Shrui B'neim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there. Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Leinishar Mishachora Beis HaMikdash Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Eladal Ramesh Alaloch Bilvad. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash. But when the Beis HaMikdash, the temple was destroyed, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwell? He dwells where Torah is learnt, in the Beis HaMedrash. Now Bilam knew this. See? He knew this. So therefore, he wanted to destroy the tents of Yaakov. He wanted to destroy the Mishkanaisecha Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let him. But this is what he wanted to do. Then one final point. The Gemara in Sanhedrin states that if you recall in Parshas Ki Tzetzeh, where we what we quoted before, it states Veleovo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow Bilam to hurt you. And Vayapeh Hashem Elokecha Elokecha Aklola Livrocho. He turned, he converted his curse to Brocho. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Kufei Amud Beis asks, it should say his curses to brochas, because we're speaking of many curses and many brochas. Instead it says he turned his curse to brocho. So the Gemara brings that in reality, in the beginning, all of the curses were turned to brochas. But eventually, all of the curses did work. And whatever he did curse, we see was affected. We see eventually the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We see eventually he cursed the Malchus, the kingship was lost, and so forth and so on. So even though in the immediate term, Hashem turned the brochas, turned the curses into brochas, but later on the curses did work. So what does it mean that he cursed, he converted the curse into brocha? There was one curse though that the Almighty would not allow should work at all. And what was this? This was the curse in the brocha of Matova Olecha Yaakov, where he wanted to curse the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned and converted completely. He didn't allow this to be affected at all. And the Rashi says on this, Shalayifseku Yisrael chutz mibati kenisiyos abati midrashe Shalayifseku Yisrael la'ilam. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the shuls and the yeshivas should never cease from Klal Yisrael. Now this is something very important. The Beis HaMikdash, there will be times when we won't have the Beis HaMikdash. The kingship, there will be times when we won't have the kingship. Eretz Yisrael, there are times when we don't have Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he allowed the curse of Bilam to affect. But when it came to the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to lay Yifzeku Bote Midrashis or Bote Knesiyas Le'elam Yisrael, that there never should be an interruption at all in Klal Yisrael. And therefore he did not let that curse work at all. From here we see this is why that no matter where Klal Yisrael went, no matter what part of the world, what part of the Golus, no matter what they didn't have, but they always had with them their Beis HaKnesset and their Beis HaMedrash. They had a place to daven and a place to learn. Because without that, see, then that they would have lost Shekhinah totally. Because this is where the Shekhinah always came. So these are a few observations on one or two of the brochas in each set of the three brochas. And a few observations on the Parsha, and we should be zeche to see all of these klolas be turned into complete brochas for Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.